Bible. Now say, I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Matthew, the 5th chapter in the 5th verse. Go with me there. I'll be there in a minute, but you can go with me there. We're in our series entitled True Happiness. True Happiness. And this is a series that we're teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, which we said is the first sermon that Jesus taught that was recorded, I should say, in the New Testament. It is the most famous and most complete sermon that we have recorded. And Jesus, he's talking about the Beatitudes, and he's saying, blessed is the poor in spirit, blessed is those that mourn, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, and those kind of things. And we said that word blessed, it's translated two ways. The word bless is translated two ways in the New Testament. One is eulogio, which means an external blessing. And this one is makarios. When Jesus is talking, he's actually talking about an internal blessing. And we said that happiness does not come from external circumstances, but it comes from your internal attitude, which ultimately comes from Jesus living on the inside of you. When you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you, and you begin to walk out his ways, how many know that you experience true happiness? Because, see, happiness is a spiritual need, and you can't meet a spiritual need with a natural source. And so that's why we need Jesus every minute of every second of every hour of every day. Can I get up? All right, Matthew 5:5, let's get right into it. It says, blessed or happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Anybody remember the first beatitude? Poor in spirit, right? Okay, all right, no problem. Anybody remember the second beatitude? Those that mourn, that's right. And so now we're talking about the meek. We're talking about the meek. Meek is a word that we typically don't use in our vocabulary. We don't, you know, go around, you know, we say, oh, that person's nice, or that person's funny, but we don't typically say that person's meek. Isn't that right? Yeah, and so when we think of the word meek, we think of someone that is mild-mannered. We think of someone that is soft-spoken. We think of someone, to be honest, sometimes we think of someone that's a little weak or easily like a pushover. You got it? A lot of times that's what we think when we think of the word meek, and we're going to find out that that is actually totally opposite of what meekness really is. So there's three questions that we're going to answer today in this lesson. Real simple lesson. I know it's going to be a blessing to you, but there's three questions that we're going to answer. The first question that we're going to answer is, what is meekness? The second question we're going to answer is, what produces meekness? And the third question we're going to answer is, how do I become meek? So those are the three things that we're going to talk about. What is meekness? What produces meekness? And how do I become meek? And so let's jump right into it. We're going to answer the first question. What is meekness? What is meekness? Well, let me tell you, before I tell you what it is, thank you. Before I tell you what it is, let me tell you what it's not. Well, let me tell you what it's not. It's not weakness. It's actually the exact opposite. So if you're writing notes, take this down. If you're not writing notes, take this down. It's meekness. Watch this. Meekness is not weakness, but it's strength under control. Meekness is not weakness, but it's strength under control. You got it? What's under control? Strength under control. It is described in the Greek culture as a wild animal that has been tamed and completely submissive and obedient to his master. Now, I know we don't so much like the whole tame part, but notice completely submissive and obedient to his master. Jesus was the meekest person who ever walked the earth. Jesus was the meekest, and he wasn't weak. But he was completely submissive and obedient to his father. Does that make sense? Yeah. Meekness is when we can be controlled totally by the Holy Spirit. That's what meekness is. Meekness is when we can be controlled totally by the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that right? It's one of the attributes of God. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And we're going to talk about a little bit how it's produced and those kind of things. And even when you begin to talk about fruit of the fruits of the Spirit, how many know we have to develop the fruits of the Spirit in our lives? And the more we develop a relationship with God, the more we develop the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. Isn't that right? Right? And there's meekness all through the scripture. There's meekness all through the scripture. Joseph, if you remember, he was elevated to the most powerful position in the world. And, you know, of course, his brothers had put him in slavery. We kind of know the story about Joseph. And then years later, actually 22 years later, his brothers show up. They don't even recognize him because he's like, you know, in Pharaoh clothes and he's got all this position, all this power, all this authority. He sees his brothers coming. You understand what I'm saying? And he could have easily put them to death if he wanted to. He could have thrown them in prison. He could have done so many things to him, and he doesn't. Why? Because he has meekness, which is strength under control. Does that make sense? Moses, when he was 80 years old, they said he was the meekest person on the earth at that time. That is Numbers 12 and 3, just as proof text. You can go there whenever you want. And so, but he wasn't always meek. When he was 80, he was meek. But when he was 40, the Bible says that he found an Egyptian beating up a Hebrew slave. And so Moses just didn't beat him up. He just didn't beat him down. He killed that joker. He didn't have strength under control, but he did as he developed over time. Because it got to the point where the Bible said that he was the meekest man on earth at that time. And he was able, watch this now, he was able, of course, through God, we understand, to do supernatural things or perform supernatural miracles. And he only did it for the good. Does that make sense? All right. David, another example of meekness. He was a tremendous warrior. He was a tremendous warrior. He was a fighter. He had all kind of strength and those kind of things. In his older days, when Absalom had come against him and, and those kind of things, David is leaving. But he's leaving the temple. He's leaving the kingdom. And he's trusting God to take care of everything. And then there was a guy, as David was leaving, there was a guy named Shimei. I don't know if you remember that. And he was cussing at David. He was throwing rocks at David and those kind of things. But David, he kept his mouth shut. He just decided he was going to trust God through that whole situation. He could have sent a whole army to kill that guy, but he didn't. Why? Because he had strength under control. And I submit to you that all of us in the room need to have strength under control. We really need to walk in meekness. Can I get a Yeah, we need meekness to be produced in our lives. We need meekness to be produced in our lives. And I do agree that it's not something that's overnight, but it is over time. You got it. Y'all know any fighters? Any brawlers? Check your neighbor out. You got it. Why are you pointing at me for? I'm a lover, not a fighter. But I have developed meekness over time. You got it. I don't know. I just, some people say it's the military. And, I was scrappy when I was a kid. You understand what I'm saying? And, but I do see in my life how meekness has been developed over time in my life. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you saying amen. Yeah. Okay. So this December, Lady and I have been married 20 years. And I amen. And I guess I'm like Moses. First 10, I wasn't so meek. No, I mean, I just don't like when people don't do right. You got it? So if my wife and I, we would used to be like in the grocery store. And like if a man was going off on his wife, I wanted to go over and talk to him. Like I wanted to talk some sense into him. You know, like, man, what are you doing? Like, why are you talking to her like that? She's like, babe, you need to leave people alone. Like they'll get crazy. I said, I just get crazy right with them. They see red, I see red. You know, and then there's other times like, if there's a spot that, okay, let me just say it like this. First of all, everybody has issues. I got issues. You got issues. All God's children have issues. If you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue. You got it. And everybody has buttons. Yeah, you can play me if you want to. Everybody has buttons. You got it. And my biggest button is if you mess with my family. That's like my thing. I do believe that I have produced meekness over time, and I think that I've gotten a lot better, but, you got it. Bring me my phone. Where's my phone? Is it right there? Yeah, bring me my phone. I saw this, just stay right here, Ben, because I'm going to get right back to you. Like, just leave my family alone and sure don't come up in my house. Let me just tell you that prayer is the best way to meet the Lord. Trespassing is faster. Show up if you want to. And it might have something to do with my scrappiness. You know, my father probably shouldn't, but as little kids, we watch like Clint Eastwood movies, you know. And, I remember one time watching a Clint Eastwood movie. Clint Eastwood found the bad guys, right? And the guy is under a parking lot. He was in a parking garage, and he's got his long pistol because Eastwood only carried long pistols. You understand what I'm saying? And so he's got him, and he's having the gun, and he has the guy stick up his hands, right? And the guy's begging and pleading, and Eastwood's like, you know Jesus? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He figured he's about to get off. You know, like, yeah, oh, I know Jesus. I know Jesus. He said, good, you're going to see him. Boom, you know? I know that's not me, but I'm just saying, maybe that is why I am. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I remember if you're a member that's been here long enough, you know my Wendy story. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't really want to get into the Wendy story, but myself. Right. I bet you can't remember. I bet you can't remember. So anyways. That's a family joke, but anyways, were we building this building? Yeah, we were building this building, and we wanted to go to lunch. So myself, Lady, Pastor Pat, for sure. I don't know if anybody else was there, but for sure it was us three. And we were just, let's just run to Wendy's real quick, grab something, and let's go. And so I think me and Pastor Pat were riding together, and I think Lady was riding separately, and so she met us there. So she walks in before us. So as she's walking in, there's a dude that's walking out, and he stops and checks her up and down and then up and down again. And said, I'd have bought you lunch. Yeah, that's what I said. This is no lie. All I saw was red. Like, you know, and so, like, you know, I don't want to get into it because I wasn't the meekest person that day, you know, but I just wanted to go off. You understand what I'm saying? Like, who are you to disrespect my wife like that? My whole thing is, I don't disrespect anybody else's wife. I don't flirt with anybody else's wife. I don't expect you to do that with mine. But he didn't get the memo. And I can feel my pressure going up, so I'm going to go to point number two. All right, so we said what meekness was. What produces meekness? Well, y'all get anything out of this? Yeah. What produces meekness? Let me tell you two things it doesn't produce meekness. Number one, being born does not produce meekness. Being born, just because you're born, that does no. You, if you have children, you know that. Because our children were not, they were out of control a lot of different times, and we have to discipline them to bring them back into control. Can I get a? Yeah, so we understand, number one, being born does not produce meekness. And the second thing is, when you understand meekness, it's not a personality trait. It is not a personality trait. We think of people that are quiet. That is not meekness, because that would mean that people that talk a lot, that have big personalities, couldn't be meek, and that's not true. Does that make sense? Yeah, before I answer the question, let me ask you this. Can an apple tree produce oranges? No. Apple tree can a pear tree produce apples? No, because God set up a law in the earth that everything produces after its own kind. Isn't that right? Yeah, and so plants, humans, trees, animals, it always produces after its own kind. Let me ask you one more question. Can you produce meekness? No. Why? Because meekness is an attribute of God. Meekness is an attribute of God. Think about this. The meekest in the universe is God. Tremendous power and strength, but never out of control. Tremendous power and strength, but never, ever out of control. Go with me to Galatians 5 and 22. Let's talk about this. So we understand that, that meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's an attribute of God, and it's produced, of course, by the Holy Spirit. 5 and 22. Galatians 5 and 22. There we go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. There it is. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So meekness is something the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. Let me just keep going. Meekness is something that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives when we're totally submitted to Him. I'll say it again. Meekness is something that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives when we are totally submitted to Him. He must be the loudest voice in your life. There's a lot of voices in our lives, but the Holy Spirit has to be the loudest voice in our lives. You got it? How many know the Holy Spirit is always talking? The question is, are we in a place where we can really hear Him? Does that make sense? You know, and sometimes it's not that we can't hear Him, we just don't want to hear Him. You got it? One time, man, I was mad. I was so mad. And it was like if I told you why I was mad, you'd be like, I'd be mad too. That's why I don't want to tell you. But it was really, really bad. Somebody had just like done us like super wrong. And I don't want to get into that because, you know, it's all under the blood. You know, I don't care about that. But I'm just giving you. And so, but I was so mad. But the Holy Spirit was talking to me the whole time I was mad. He's like, son, calm down. I'm like, I don't want to calm down. You got it. It's just everything. I was hungry and, you know, You got it. A lady just happened not to cook that day. Not her fault. I'm just, you know. And so I'm like, there's nothing to eat in this house. Like, I never do that. You understand what I'm saying? Normally, I'm like, hey, babe, you want to go get something to eat? You know, and so she's like, well, do you want me to make, I make you a sandwich. I don't want a sandwich. You know, I just was like, and the Holy Spirit's like, calm down, you know. And so I went and got me a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, you know, because that kind of fills me up. Like, it's a meal replacement for me. If I drink coffee, I can go without, you know, eating. And so anyways, but I'm so mad. I get home. I walk outside across my front lawn, and I'm so mad. I took the coffee, and I threw the coffee all the way across my lawn. Now, that's the worst I did as far as actions. Please understand. And so, but then I was mad because I threw the coffee away, and I don't have anything to drink. But that wasn't God's fault. Because had I listened to the Holy Spirit in the beginning and calmed down like He told me to calm down, I never would have went through those series of things. Now, don't look at me and judge me. You got your own little issues, too. Can I get a? Okay, I just want to be sure. I just want to be sure. All right. So how do I become meek? Third one, when I am totally submitted to the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, when I allow Him to control my actions and my reactions. That's how I become meek. When I'm totally submitted to the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, when I allow Him to control my actions and my reactions. All right, so let's put up the scripture from the very beginning, my very first scripture. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Can we break this down? All right, now look at it, look at it. Blessed. Now, I've already taught you that. What's that word blessed mean? Happy, right? Blessed, makarios, happy. So really, we could take the word blessed out and put happy. Okay, yeah. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, let's keep going. Happy are the meek. Happy are the meek. And we said, what is meek? Meek is when I am totally submitted to the Holy Spirit. When I'm totally submitted, totally controlled to the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? So happy are those, watch this now, happy are those that are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Okay? So blessed are the meek, or happy are those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Right? But let's keep going. He says, for they shall, what's that next word? Inherit. That word inherit, watch this now, means own, possess, or have dominion over. So I want to use have dominion over, okay? So he says, happy are those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, for they have dominion over. Watch this. But it says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. There's, when you understand the word earth, there's really three meanings. Historically, it meant the promised land. Futuristically, it means the new heaven and the new earth. All right? But there's a principle that we draw out of it from today for today's time. All right? The word earth is literally translated dirt or dust. That's what is literally translated, all right? Let me ask you something. Where do we come from? Right? Came from dirt, from the dust of the ground, right? So if that's right, watch this now. If we came from the dirt or from the dust of the ground, I could really read it like this. Blessed or happy are those that are controlled by the Holy Spirit because they have dominion over their flesh. That was where y'all was supposed to clap. Y'all didn't clap good. All right. That's enough. Don't say it if you don't mean it. So watch this. So no more outbursts of anger. No more knockdown, drag out fights at the house. Meekness says God is in control, so I don't have to get out of control. No more going off on people on Facebook. You got it. No more lying on folks. You got it. No more gossiping. No, because I am totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. Watch this. And when I'm totally controlled by the Holy Spirit, that means that the Holy Spirit can produce some things in my life. What does he produce? He produces the fruits of the Spirit in my life. So he just, watch this, he doesn't just produce meekness, but he produces love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. The Bible says, against such there is no law. And so we have to learn how to totally submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And to the degree we do that, he begins to produce some things in our lives. So I submit to you that if he is not producing the fruits of the Spirit in my life as a pastor, it means that I'm not totally submitted to him. Does that make sense? Okay, all right, let's keep going. I'm almost done. Y'all get anything out of this? So far, we have learned in this series that true happiness does not come from external circumstances, but it comes from an internal attitude, which ultimately is because of our relationship with Jesus. We've learned that, right? Let's think about everything else that we've learned, that true happiness, blessed, the word blessed, happiness, true happiness comes when we realize that we are bankrupt without God and consistently need him in our lives. That's what we talk about when we talk about poor in spirit. Second thing is we're truly happy when we mourn over our sin and repent because God will comfort and forgive us, and that will make us happy. That's true inner happiness. And then today, we learn that we're truly happy when our strength is under control and we are totally submitted to the Holy Spirit. So I read Matthew 11 and 28 earlier, but let's read it again. Let's close, Courtney. Let's get out of here. All right, so Matthew 11 and 28. Watch what he says. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you what? I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." So this is one of the only times theologians say that Jesus actually describes himself in Scripture. And when he describes himself, watch what he says. "I have strength under control." So if you come to me, I can show you how to have strength under control. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart, for you shall find rest under your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So since Jesus described himself as being meek, I said, well, let me see if I can't find it in Scripture where he was meek. And I found it all over the place. I mean, all over the place. But I found it in Isaiah 53 and 7, and I'm going to read it to you in the Message paraphrase, because I think that this really describes true meekness or true strength under control. This is talking about your Savior, my Savior. He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. "Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence." I mean, they're beating him down and he's not saying anything. People just talk about us and we go off. "Justice miscarried and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he give himself as an offering for sin so that he see life come from it. Life, life, and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. And how many know that week in and week out, God's plan is prospering through what Jesus did for us on Calvary? The Bible, I love this scripture. The Bible says, for God commended his love. I always liked it until I understood what the word commended means. And he said he proved his love. And how many know that he really didn't have to prove anything to us? But the Bible said that God proved his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, of course, if you're not saved today, I want to give you the opportunity to get saved. But if you are saved today, I want to remind you that one thing as believers that we ought to do is we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. The writer says, which is our reasonable service. In other words, it's the least you can do for everything God has done for you. I believe us being totally submitted to the Holy Spirit is the least we can do. So he can produce love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness in us. That's why the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, for without no man shall see God. Falling out with people affects how you see God. So for no other reason, you know, just get along with folks so you can have a clear picture or perspective of who God is. Have you ever thought about this? Sometimes I don't like my neighbor. I don't like my coworker. And so, you know, they got an attitude, so I'm going to have an attitude. Did you ever think that maybe God was trying to produce meekness in your life so you could be the very one to minister and to witness to that neighbor or to that coworker? But when we're not totally controlled by the Holy Spirit and we're always out of control, you got it. People don't realize the reason, and you know, pastor's not judging when I say this, okay? But the reason, and you can ask Lady, you know, and I say that because she's my wife, so she knows more than anybody. My heart's desire is to always do right. I mean, like, that is my thing. I always want to do right. I'm not saying that I never messed up or I never, I mean, Wendy's, I did pretty bad. You understand what I'm saying? But my heart's desire is always to do the right thing. It's always to walk in integrity. It's always to have good character. It's always to lead by example. It's always to do it that way. And I believe it's because I have totally submitted myself to the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means I'll never mess up. No. That means when you do, you take the correction from it and you get it right. That's what it means. Does that make sense? That's exactly what it means. So maybe the reason life is not going for some people the way it should. I don't understand. It seems like I get there and then I drop off and this don't work and that don't work and that don't work. Maybe it's because I'm not truly submitted to the Holy Spirit. And he's not being able to produce what needs to be produced in my life so I can live a consistent life. Does that make sense? And you know pastor's not beating you up, right? You know pastor's not judging. I'm just trying to maybe help you get the right perspective. Because at the end of the day, man, I just want to please God. I mean, at the end of the day, yeah. I mean, because I got to the point where I'm like, man, I ain't going off on nobody. I ain't fighting with nobody. I'm going to love everybody. That's how I'm going to be. No problem. That's my thing. No problem. I was at our Bible study. Somebody wanted to meet with me one time. I normally don't say things like this, but I just figured I would this time. And so I thought the person wanted to talk to me about something good. That person fussed me out. I think they even cussed once or twice. And this is right before I'm coming to teach Bible study. And I hadn't even done anything wrong. It's amazing to me how, because the Holy Spirit told me I could say this. It's amazing to me how people have unrighteous expectations of what a pastor should be to them. Like because, and I'm not being mean, but because I'm your pastor don't mean you got to come to my house. Because I'm your pastor and you know that God has blessed me, it doesn't mean that I have to give you money. But it's amazing to me, and that's what the person, they went off on me. I mean, went off. And don't say anything. I hope you're mature enough that you ain't gonna say, and this was a long time ago. You got it. But that night, the Lord did something in my life. Because, man, I'm telling you, they're talking to me, and I'm like, they don't know who they're talking to. Like, I want to tell them, you don't know who I am, but I do. But I didn't. Holy Spirit said, tell them no problem. So I said, no problem. So it seemed like it got worse. So then they started attacking like my family. The Holy Spirit said, tell them no problem. I'm like, okay, no problem. Then they started attacking my character. I heard people say you, and it's all lies. But that was just the enemy. So the Holy Spirit said, tell them no problem. I said, no problem, no problem. And then they kept getting more mad because I was in total submission to the Holy Spirit and meekness was displayed in my life. And so I never said anything to anybody. I walk out and I taught that word. I taught faith. You understand? I did exactly what God told me to do. And that's how we got to be in life. Now listen to me. I'm giving you an example for me. But when you go to your job, when you go to your business, when you come here and you got to serve on the dream team, you got to be no problem about everything that's going on and that I'm coming in here and I'm going to serve God. I'm going to impact other people's lives in an amazing way. I'm going to be in total submission to the Holy Spirit. You got to come and you got to be in kids ministry. And you were ready, but all of a sudden something happened that morning. I'm just going to text Janie and tell her I ain't coming. Holy Spirit said, no, you're not. You're going to just settle down. And you're going to pull yourself together and you're going to go and you're going to have a blast with them kids and you're going to show them the love of Jesus. Why? Now the Spirit is producing something in my life. You got it. I got to sing. I'm just texting Lady or Courtney. I ain't coming today. I'm aggravated. Now, this didn't happen. Y'all understand it, right? Okay. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not going to make an excuse. No. You're going to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, you know what? This problem is not bigger than my God. So I'm going to get up there. I'm going to get on stage. I'm going to have a good attitude. I'm going to do my thing. You got it. And I'm going to glorify God and model worship. And as I'm glorifying God and modeling worship, the problem that I had won't be a problem anymore. Because listen, it's tests that we all got to pass. You got it. A lesson not learned is a lesson repeated. And there's some lessons I don't want repeated. Because I sure don't want nobody coming to my office again like that. And that's never happened again. You know why? I believe it's because I passed that test. And I think what we all of us have different tests in life. You got it. And some of us, we passed it the first time. Maybe we didn't. It's okay. It doesn't matter if you passed it or you didn't pass it. Right now, you just have the right now commitment that you know what, I'm going to pass it next time. Or I'm in it and I'm going to pass it this time. I'm going to be totally submitted to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to have to, watch this, and I'm going to have dominion over my flesh. So I'm not going to let my flesh do what it wants to do. I'm going to tell my flesh what it's going to do and what it's not going to do. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand praise.